First, before we go into this, I want to acknowledge, is it Norman Chen?
No.
Nelson Chen. Nelson Chen was the leader of Cayman Sports, who passed away recently. He moved to California within the last year or so and left a legacy of sponsoring this tournament behind. A very dedicated tennis fan and businessman, and we miss him. So I just want to dedicate today's presentation to Nelson Chen, if you would. I want to thank Linda Woodland, who helped me a lot with the presentation tonight, including photos, as well as guidance and direction. Jay Kane contributed a lot of the contemporary photos that you see. She has thousands of them in her archives, and we could have shown untold number of pictures from recent tournaments. Also want to thank Heidi Kirst, who was very instrumental in getting me inspired to not only present her son on the panel tonight, but also being supportive. I want to thank Ralph McKee and Helen Peters and Ann Giordani on the committee, the executive committee of the AAA-CTA. And Rick Mintz is also one of our tournament co-chairs that has done a yeoman-like job for the last few months on this year's tournament. I want to thank the library people, Tom Smith and Matt Gauntlet and Tim Grimes and Amy Cantu, in cooperation with one of our community members, Jim Douglas, for putting together some of the vintage photos and articles from the Ann Arbor News that you saw earlier. It's really an impressive array of different styles, venues, going from wooden rackets to the contemporary rackets of today. But more than that, it's the spirit of Ann Arbor that is embodied in this tournament that goes on year after year. There's a reason why it's been going on for 97 years and counting. It's through the love of tennis from all the great people that live in this area and love this sport. I want to apologize just briefly. Dan Goldberg was supposed to be on our panel tonight. He contacted me last week and said he was unable to appear. He has a change in plans, so we'll hope that we can get Dan back here for next year and subsequently years, leading up to what I hope will be the 100th year of the Ann Arbor City Tennis Tournament. So thanks to all the people for contributing. Now I'd like to bring up our panelists to talk about what we're going to remember and reminisce and remind ourselves of this great event over the years. Come on up. I want to start off with one of our youngest tournament champions, the aforementioned Jason Kirst. Also, Kai McKinney, who is heading to Stanford University, ladies and gentlemen. He tells me he's going to be part of the club team out there, and no better place to learn about tennis and life and higher education than at one of the greater universities, Stanford. So that's Kai in the chair one and Jason in chair two. In chair three is Wes Dunick. Wes has been a participant in this tournament as well as somebody who has taught in the middle school classes. One of the main, if not the main, thrust of this tournament is that the funds that come from this tournament go to the middle school programs for kids. And Ann Giordani is the leader of that particular aspect of local city workshops and clinics for our sixth graders. Wes is a big part of that. I think Wes has also done some adult instruction. Is that right?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. Well, he definitely is somebody who's taught younger people. We have Joe Darlington, who was a finalist last year in one of our mixed doubles championships. Barb Wisniewski is here. Wisniewski, who is a historian of the tournament, and I'm sure she has a lot to impart about what has happened. She's seen a lot of them, and we'll ask her about those tournaments in past years. And finally, Bill Godfrey, who is one of our more prominent players in the tournament over many years. If you saw the PowerPoint, you saw articles written in the Ann Arbor News of Bill when he was 30 years of age, and Bill still plays extraordinary tennis and is a threat to win another tournament this year. It's very possible. So thanks to the panelists. He'll cross his fingers, but we know he's capable of doing this. I want to start off with Kai McKinney, who is a recent graduate at Skyline High School and is heading towards Stanford this next year, as I said. Tell me just a little bit about your history, how you learned tennis. And I should also mention Kai is a member of the middle school teaching clinic and workshop program. So he's seen it from both sides, both as a player and as a teacher. So tell me just a little bit about how you got into tennis, where that has led you, and where you think it might lead you. You're going to play club tennis at Stanford, so you're not playing with the very, very best. Stanford recruits heavily, so I mean, just to be there, I think, and play tennis is great.
So, again, I'm Kai McKinney. I'm graduating in a week from Skyline. So I started playing tennis with my parents, who both went to U of M, in a sort of a park nearby. And I don't think I did the middle school tennis program, but I was
at... Didn't you teach at Scarlet with me last year?
I mean, I didn't. I never was a student.
You didn't. You weren't a participant, yeah.
The middle school tennis program, because I was playing it. A club at that point, but I played here at Huron Valley for many years, and I play at Chippewa now. And the past 4 years, I've done the middle school tennis program as a coach. And that's been a whole lot of fun. It's really fun, making connections with the kids and, seeing them grow and get better at the sport and, appreciate the progress that they're making. And it's always fun being there at the final tournament, where you can see them, feel and, see the fruits of their labor over the past 3 weeks, and you get to 7 weeks, and you get to cheer them on and see them play against the other players.
How much of a progression have you seen between some of the students that you've taught and then being a part of the tournament and actually winning matches?
Can you explain that a little bit?
Tell me about some of the individuals that you taught that you saw do well and progress.
Well, so it's always good to see some kids who are very, very sort of shy at the beginning and don't even want to, come up to the net to hit the ball or move up to swing through. By the end, sometimes they're swinging so hard that they, hit further past the baseline every single time. So that's always fun to see. And there are some people you see that, they are definitely probably playing at a club or something. They, they have a lot of skills going in, but it's also, it's fun to see those players, act as examples for the other players, or, the less experienced players will like to see those players, hit maybe against one of the coaches or something. So that's always fun to see, and it's always fun to see the players that really, grow throughout the weeks.
I noticed a certain anxiety in some of the players, some of the students, who just, they want to play tennis right away, and they don't want to really do fundamentals or tap the ball over the net or work on control so much as they just want to hit the tar out of the ball, or they want to do something that they've seen on television, actually play a match right off the bat. How do you harness that into getting them focused into actually learning how to hit the ball properly and to move properly and to have footwork that works?
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely a hard balance to keep, because the entire time you're trying to teach this program, everyone wants to play matches, everyone wants to play
right off the bat.
Everyone wants to play the games or whatever. But you do need, some of the fundamentals and the controls. So I think, one of the most valuable things is if you just do feeding drills, because to anyone, it feels good to hit the ball in. And if you sort of give them a controlled situation where they're getting the ball exactly where they can hit in the sweet spot every time, then they can hit the ball in more, and they start to realize the value of controlling, taking a little bit off the ball sometimes. And then you can throw in games like jailbreak. And then you can start to see kids who will, use that control that they learned to hit away from the other players so their ball doesn't get caught or mm-hmm. something like that. So that's good to see those skills transfer.
What about your accomplishments in high school and in the junior tournament?
So I played high school tennis all 4 years. The team went to state championships twice, and I was in the quarterfinals, lost in a match tiebreak to Novi. It was a little bit depressing then, but it was a great match. That's been really fun, and I love the camaraderie that you see on a high school team. And because of that, I'm going to play club at Stanford for sure. In terms of the junior tournament, I played that several years in a row back a few years ago. And that was always fun. Just being out, I think it was at varsity every single time, and seeing a lot of my friends that I would see from club, and looking at some of the other doubles draws where maybe my upperclassmen would be playing or something like that, and seeing them participate in that and seeing the progress that they made in that.
Did you ever play somebody that you knew really well and was a friend?
I played doubles with a friend of mine 1 year, but I don't think I ever really played someone I knew really, really well.
Against them?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we have Jason Kirst, who has won 2 junior titles at the Ann Arbor City Tennis Tournament. And same question to start off with you. How did you get into tennis? What fostered your love for the sport? When did you realize that you could actually be pretty good at this? You won tournaments at a much younger age with older players. As far as I know, you won 2 tournaments against much older players in the junior division.
So I first started playing tennis when I was only 3 years old. I have been a member at Liberty Athletic Club since the day I was born. We had a family membership. And I remember I used to always go to the kids area or the kind of daycare center. And the area it used to be was behind a glass wall that overlooked 6 indoor tennis courts. And everyone else would want to play with dolls or blocks or something. And I would stand there in awe when I was 1 or 2 years old and just look out on these courts for hours on end. And none of the daycare center workers or other kids understood it, but that's exactly what I wanted to do. And from the day that I learned the word tennis when I was just under 3 years old, that's what I kept asking to do. So I finally got permission to start early. You had to be 4 years old. A couple months before my 4th birthday, I got permission to start. And I started in a little peewee clinic. And so that's now 15 years straight I've been playing. It's kind of progressed from there. I ran through all the junior clinics at Liberty, and that was a really good experience. Those were kind of the building blocks for me. And I played my first competitive tournament when I was 7, and I believe played for the first time in the city tournament when I was 8. So, and then from there, by the time I was 14, I began playing in the adult division here. And so the Ann Arbor City Tournament has been a really strong foundation for me in my competitive tennis.
Talk about playing in those older divisions and how you had to maybe change the way you played just a little bit. Did you try a more power game? Did you try finesse? Did you have to use more strategy? I mean, what was the key to your being able to win those matches against older players?
So the first time I played the adult tournament, like I said, I was 14, and I lost to Sven Holcomb in the 2nd round, who's a really good player, and mm-hmm. Bill might be seeing him in a few weeks.
a few days.
And I remember I lost a 3-set match to Sven, and he was just a much more experienced player than I was.
But you took him to 3 sets.
Yeah, I did, and I knew I was right there, and I knew I had those opportunities, so... But at 14, I wasn't a super complex player. I was more of a get the ball back or hit it and make the guy run, which is a good strategy in a simplistic manner. But I got the opportunity a year later to play Sven in the finals of the tournament. And that time I was able to win in 3 sets. And I remember there was a lot more going into that. Like, I remembered to mix around serve placement or topspin here, slice here, or come to net there. And that was something I had to learn, because in juniors, if you ever watch, even in junior tournaments that might be on TV, like Junior Wimbledon or something, and then you watch the actual adult Wimbledon, the juniors are much more simple game style, where they just like to hit big and like to hit flat balls, and the adults are much more multidimensional. So that's something I had to learn, and the Ann Arbor City Tournament helped me learn that from a very young age that adult tennis is a whole nother animal.
Mm-hmm. Is that a style that you enjoy and will carry on, or do you think that at some point in time you're going to adapt to a power tennis game?
Well, I, as you can probably tell, I'm not one of the bigger players that you're going to see on the court. So
neither was Justine Anna, and she used to hit the tar out of the ball.
That's true. But I'm not exactly John Isner either. So
yeah,
I'm really happy that I had the opportunity to learn at a young age how to play that multi-style game, and that's something that I'm going to bring with me as I progress into college tennis and beyond. That's something I need to have.
What about playing a player that you know pretty well? Did that ever happen to you where you had to beat a friend?
Oh, yeah, several times a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That's something that the first time I did that, I was still 8 years old. So that's something I've been doing for 10 years now, and I've become accustomed to. At first, it was really hard to do because that's something that no one wants to have to deal with. It's a practice partner you might play with like 2 to 3 times a week. But then you learn to kind of block it out. And by the time I had played tournaments for probably 2 or 3 years, when I was 10 or 11 years old, I learned to kind of, everyone has the same face, and I don't think of anyone any differently. And I taught myself, the phrase I always used was put blinders on. So I make sure I don't pay attention to anything that's outside of the court or who is on the other side of the court. I think the most important thing is to focus on yourself, and that's something I learned to do. And it's still hard, and we'll still like embrace at the net after, not just a normal handshake, but you can still talk to your friend after. But during a match, you've got to find the way to kind of close off and be opponents.
Mm-hmm. Wes Dunick is next, and Wes has the broad-based experience of working with the middle school teaching program, as well as playing in the tournament. I met you last year when I saw you play, and I was impressed not only by just your general demeanor and your love for the sport, but this gentleman is also somebody who's volunteered and worked at the tournament. So there are several different levels that he has experienced working, being a part of the teaching process, and then playing. Talk about the early days of you loving tennis and how you got into it once again. I think it's important to know where a person has a foundation for loving the sport and then how that builds. So talk about early years and what inspired you to play tennis, what made you know that you could play pretty well. I mean, you might be modest and say, but I think from what I saw, you still play pretty well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I'm the exception on the panel. So I started playing tennis when I was 45.
Can you talk closer?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
I started playing tennis when I was 45. My wife was a really excellent high school tennis player, and so she introduced me to the sport. And I'd played basketball up to that time, but I realized at 45, when you play basketball, everybody you're playing against is always 25.
How tall are you?
6'5".
Okay.
And secondly, I, being 45 and 55 and 65, I discovered that it's really great to play a sport where you're separated from your opponent by a net. It makes just just a lot safer. And I guess the other milestone would have been, I think I started playing indoors in the winter about 10 years ago. And I think that's in tennis, that's a big progression. That's when you really start to play a lot and play well, as if you're willing to pay the money to play in the winter.
And the whole idea of being able to play with experience behind you, you feel good about being physically able to hit the ball, move.
I feel really lucky, actually.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
Well, that's another one of my jokes. I have been, knock on wood, not injured very often, and I say, well, you really have to move fast. You have to do something dramatic to get injured, and that hasn't happened to me because I don't move that way.
Mm.
But I've just been really fortunate, and I know a lot of players that are just out for a year or two, and boy, it's so tough to come back. I've just been fortunate.
What defines the style of play that you utilize? Or even more than that, what defines the style of what you're teaching younger people?
Well, let me talk about the middle school program because that's really important.
So yeah, I think it is.
The middle school program really has two goals in my mind. The most important goal is to get kids to hit the ball enough to really enjoy tennis, to say this is something I want to do. And the vast majority of the kids in that program have maybe never picked up a racket or have hit once. So they're really just beginning. And I think, you know, I think the program has about 150 kids in the middle schools in Ann Arbor, and that, and you know, I think, you know, if 30 or 40 of those continue to play tennis the rest of their life, that's an incredibly successful program. And that's sort of the goal. And the secondary goal is to teach them, teach them is a little strong, to give them a good basis in forehands and backhand. And you asked, Kai, how do you balance that, wanting to play a full game and just learning something? And I think part of the way that the program does that is we don't learn serves at all. We barely touch on volleys. We don't talk about overheads. Talk about overheads. They don't hit lobs. They hit lobs, but we don't teach them how to do that. We try to just forehands and backhand. One of the things that really gratified me this year was at the end of every practice, they're about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. All the kids would say, are we done already? Do we have to go home now? Fantastic. The program provides rackets and balls for all the students, so they don't really have to bring anything but a pair of shoes to wear. It's open to all sixth graders in all the middle schools, including Open and STEAM. The AAA CTA is really, we have to thank for that, and the tournament, because that's where the money comes from to pay for this program, and then a lot of volunteers. So it's a great program that has a great foundation.
How many years have you taught in the junior program?
I think I'm in my fifth year.
Have you seen anybody in the program like really progress to be what you might consider to be a good or a very good player?
Yeah. The answer is that I'm sure it happens, but let's back up a second. I think a lot of players in Ann Arbor, we've heard about them, have, you know, had fundamental training in there already in there, when they were 5 to 10. And so we're getting sixth graders that are about 13, and really the vast majority of our kids have never played tennis. So we're not in the cohort that's really going to progress to be a big star in the tournaments, probably. But I'd like to hope that we do get some kids that can play high school tennis eventually because they were that. We see a lot of physical talent come on the court, and people have the ability to learn.
Have you ever come across a student that just flubs and can't build any level of confidence, and then all of a sudden you see them turn around?
Yeah, of course. I mean, every year we have, at Slauson, where I have taught for the last 3 years, we have about 30 kids, and of those, probably 10, you know, really struggle to hit the ball well for a while, but all of them can progress. And I think the approach I take, and I think what most of the other coaches take, by the way, I wanted to say, probably the coach to student ratio is about 1-6. So it's a pretty, the kids have quite a lot of attention if they're willing to listen to it. I think we walk around the practice and, you know, try to identify the kids that are struggling a little bit and try to come up to them and talk one-on-one and say, you might want to try a different racket. You might want to move your grip down the racket. We see a lot of kids like to choke up. Be sure to keep your eye on the ball through the whole shot. You know, there's little kind of things that are fundamental tennis. And then those kids do progress.
Once again, what about your style of play?
Yeah, we heard about my style of play. It's this 10-year-old, simplistic, hit the ball maybe one side of the court to the other. That's about all. I'd like to hit as hard as I can, so I probably try to hit hard. I don't do very many spins or loops or anything.
Not a baseliner?
I'm a baseliner.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I will come to the net. My doubles game has improved a lot since I retired because now I play doubles all the time, so mm-hmm. that helps. And I can volley better than I used to.
You do serve and volley at all?
No serve and volley.
Why is that?
I'm too old to learn all that new stuff.
That new stuff.
And
that was done 30 years ago, and now it's not done at all.
No, I just have to, if I could do what I do better, if I had a better backhand, if I could overhead a little bit better, if I could do all those things I already do better, then I might think about what I'm going to add next.
Mm-hmm. Ever been coached?
Oh, I've taken how many lessons in my life? 20 at least, and taken some clinics. I used to, when I traveled for my work, every time I'd go outside of town, I'd try to find a tennis court and a pro and take a lesson for an hour just to get some exercise and to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a lot of lessons, but I do find that once I've been given some instruction, I can play a long time and try to apply that. If I get too many things in my simple head, then nothing progresses.
Let's go to Joe Darlington, who, as I said earlier, was a finalist last year in one of our mixed doubles categories. The mixed doubles tournament, by the way, concluded this last weekend, and Joe was a part of it last weekend. But she was telling me as we were talking over the phone that when she was younger, she learned how to play tennis, got away from it for a long while, and now she's, in a sense, back in it because of the city tournament. So I have a dual-fold question in that. What got you started playing tennis, and then what got you away from it? Because I know there are things in life that take us away from a multitude of different areas of our life that we would like to be involved in, except for that rat called time, which affects us all, and we run out. I wish we could marry an astronomer and a physicist or something. We could have 36-hour days and 10-hour weeks, so we could have more fun and work more if we wanted to. But that would be nice to have more time. So was it a matter of time that took you away from it? But tell me about your initial thrust into the sport, how you learned it, how you learned to love it, and then how you got away from it.
Well, actually, I begged my dad to get me into some kind of sport. He refused until he came across tennis. I didn't get into tennis until I was in high school, so about age 16. And he kept drilling my backhand for some reason, thinking I needed to really work on my backhand, and so it became my forehand. And my forehand is really bad, like my backhand. Anyways, so I played in high school for 2 years. We actually did really well. And I lived up in Flint.
What high school?
Flint Academy.
Okay.
It's now Flint Southwestern Academy. But after high school, that was the only sport I played. And after high school, I went right into college and then work. Work, you know, consumes your time.
Where was college?
Baker College.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't really have a tennis team there, do they?
They don't. They don't have anything.
Yeah.
It's just a degree.
Right. Business college.
Yes. And then I went to work full-time, a restaurant manager. And life happens. So then, of course, I never played tennis again until 30 years later, 30-plus years later.
Did you ever follow the sport on television or follow scores or tournaments or whatever?
I watch sports all the time. So my dad was very involved in sports. He actually started playing tennis later in his life, too, 45-ish. And he was about that age when he got me into tennis. So, I watched it all along. But then I finally got into tennis again just about 3 years ago and belonged to Chippewa Tennis Club. My coach is Kathy, and so she's the one that talked me into playing in some leagues. After I did some of her clinics, she noticed my backhand is still pretty good, and thought I had potential, and she got me into the B4 league, and then suggested the tennis tournament, city tournament, and other leagues, USTA leagues. So that got me in.
Were you surprised with last year's result?
Of where I placed?
Yeah.
Actually, I was, because my partner was injured before the match. So as a doubles player, where you kind of count on your partner to get the space, you know, that you're not at. And I had to cover everything. So I had to go cover his side as well as the front. because he could only get the balls that were going to him. And so we did advance. We went to the finals, and we did lose against that match. But I was happy. I got a trophy. That's what mattered to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself progressing like in the next, let's say, 5 years with this?
Well, I'm just a 3.0 now. I just moved up this last December, and I'm really hoping to get up to 4.0 in the next 5 years. This year, I'm hoping to move up to 3.5, and I'm in the singles match this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. But I do want to improve, so I am going to take some lessons, and I keep playing tournaments because that's how you better yourself, because you play with other people that are competitive.
Do you have any role models, pros that you admire, the way they play?
It used to be my dad. He's passed now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really like Chippewa, so I really look up to Craig there.
That'd be Craig Capelli, yeah.
Yes. I think he's awesome. I really like my coach, Kathy Vanderweg. So I look up to them, and I listen to them, and I think they have great insight on how to improve my tennis.
You're saying your forehand is not so good?
It's not great, but all those pros that run around to hit forehand, I run around to hit my backhand.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying I'm a pro. I'm certainly not that.
Yeah.
But that's what I do, because I favor my backhand. Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
I saw you play last year. I was really impressed with the way you handled everything.
Well, I'm coming from I used to be a runner, so fortunately, I can move on the court really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just once I get there, I got to learn how to hit the ball. That's the skill.
You like the courts at Varsity?
I do, yes. I take cardio classes there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
let's move on to Barb Wesneski. Barb is a historian, person that's witnessed many tournaments over the years. Talk a little bit about seeing the tournaments, where you started seeing the Ann Arbor City Tournament. And you've seen a lot of tennis, obviously.
Yes, because I'm very, very old.
You're not that old, believe me.
I started playing in the city tournament in the mid-80s. I started tennis as an adult, like you. But soon after, I started playing in the city tournament. I loved it, and then the rec department said we don't have money to run the city tournament anymore. And Linda Woodland and a few other people got together and they rounded me up somehow and said we have to do something to keep the city tournament going. And that's when we formed the Ann Arbor Area Community Tennis Association.
Steve Sartori was part of that?
Yes, he was.
And there's another person. Was it Barb Griner?
Well, Barb Griner worked for the rec department.
Mm-hmm.
Not rec and ed. Thank you. Rec and ed. And they ran the tournament for, maybe you know, because you've played in it. I know rec and ed ran the tournament in the 70s and 80s, and then by the end of that,
right,
they said they couldn't do it. Who ran it before then? I don't know. So, ACTA was formed. We started running the tournament, and we're very. It was great, and it's grown, and we learned a lot, and we worked our butts off doing it because it's a lot of energy. As Ralph and many people know, many people put lots of time into doing it. It's come a long way. We have online registration and draws on the computer, and that's great.
What about the finances of the tournament? How have they changed since you first got involved in actually helping to run the tournament? And we know about cost of living and prices escalating and whatnot, but how have the finances changed when you started and then, like, seeing it? Did it ever level off and become stable so you knew you could do it every year?
ACTA was fortunate to get some funding, initial seed funding from the USTA. So we sort of had a little base to start with. But each year, the tournament registration fees cover the cost of the tournament, period. It's a wash. But through sponsorships and local businesses who sponsor the tournament and provide money, prizes, et cetera, like Nelson from Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what brings in the extra money that can run the middle school program and the small administration costs that we have to run ACTA throughout the year, to do a website, et cetera. So slowly we realize we have increased the registration fee, but it's never been this big, like, oh, you have to pay all this money and we have this big slush of money after. It's not like that at all. It's pretty much a registration fees cover the costs, and that's where it's been for the, 15 years, 16 years that I've been involved.
One of the things that strike me is that, like, there's a very high quality of play. What have you noticed about that over the years? Like, the quality, I mean, there are some matches that aren't as compelling as others, obviously, but it seemed to me, like, in watching these matches, they were very competitive. We saw some matches last year that were like dogfights. Unbelievable tennis. I mean, just would run in any tournament, any place in the world, that people would actually be so compelled that they have to watch this match. Well, so I'm curious how you feel about the quality of play.
I've played in it myself of many, many years, and watched people. Competitive tennis players are competitive tennis players. I mean, they're there because you don't come out and say, I'll join the tournament just to see what happens. You join it because you want a trophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, it's kind of one of the great life lessons you learn playing tennis, is you learn how to compete and focus and figure things out and carry on after you make a mistake and keep going. And I think the people who come to the tournament fight hard, and it's great to see.
Is shouting and real contentious, like,
there's
feelings
moments
between two players, is that a minimum? Is that minimized?
Yes. I think that people who come are almost, I think maybe every year in all the matches, maybe there's one situation, the crowd gets on him.
Let's go to Bill Godfrey now, who in many respects is, I would have to say, the most prominent player in the tournament over the years. Would you agree with that? In terms of winning and being formidable?
Oh, I'd agree.
You look across the net and you say, oh God, I got to play him. I mean, I hope that's a compliment to you, sir.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thanks for that. There have been a lot of prominent players. I said that jokingly. Hopefully people understood that.
Can you name a few?
Well, one sitting right here, Tom Haney, is a former All-American at Michigan and has been in that tournament. And there was a photograph of Tom, which I sent to you today. Did you see that? And he has played in that tournament probably a dozen times, at least, right? So I think we've played doubles together on occasion in it, I know we played against each other, and he cramped up and couldn't finish the match, and I went to the hospital room after they took him out of Chippewa on a gurney, and because he couldn't finish the match, and I walked into the hospital room, and I just wanted to let him know, although we're friends and I care about him, a win is a win, and I'm going to count that as a win.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't finish.
There are no bad wins.
No. A win is a win. Yeah. And I want to say a few things about the city tournament. I know.
Well, I wish you would.
Have some questions too, but the most important thing for me as a kid when I got into tennis, it was 1968, and I started taking lessons from Bill Murphy, who was the Michigan tennis coach in 1968, in his last year. And I would pick up tennis balls and put them back in his grocery cart. He would teach lessons, and all the balls would be in a grocery cart, and then there were no ball hoppers. He didn't have them. So he would pay me to go pick up these white tennis balls and put them back in the grocery cart.
Nice gig.
And I was nine years old, and he said, listen, instead of me paying you, why don't you just take a lesson? And so that's how I got started. I got a racket, and my mother And my mother and my father were members, charter members of the racquet club in Ann Arbor, which is where all this was happening. And so they got me a wood tennis racket, and I started playing tennis. And then the following year, Coach Murphy retired and moved to Arizona, and a new coach came in. That was a good year for Michigan coaches. They hired a tennis coach and a football coach in the same year. They hired...
We know who the football coach was.
They hired Bo Schembechler to coach the football team, and they hired Brian Eisner to come and coach the men's tennis team. And so I started taking lessons from Brian Eisner. Before there were any indoor clubs in 1969, we would go in the wintertime and set up a court on the in the IM building on the wood basketball floor, and Brian would give me tennis lessons in the IM building.
What a horrible building.
I love it. I think it's a great building.
I mean, I always hated that place. Well, it seemed like a dungeon to me. We played basketball in there when we were undergrads.
Well, when you're a little kid and there are all these big people around you, and it's just everything's new, and so to me, it smelled terrible, but it was probably one of my happy places. I loved it there, and the courts were a little fast. That wood was pretty slick.
Yeah.
But as an aside, the recently hired Michigan tennis coach, when I went to meet him for the first time, I said, not to put any pressure on you, but the last time we hired a tennis coach and a football coach in the same calendar year was 1969. So, and that happened again because we hired Coach Harbaugh in December of 2014? And I think we hired Adam in that same calendar year, Adam Steinberg. So I started to get better at tennis. Brian Eisner was my coach, and I played my first Ann Arbor City tournament in 1970 when I was 11 years old. And when you're a kid coming along, you look at all the other kids and see who the big dogs are and what the pecking order is. And at that time in the 12 and under division, the king of junior tennis was David Camazar. And there were three Camazar brothers, and David was the oldest. And they belonged to the racquet club also.
So the big dogs weren't hard to recognize.
No, especially David, who is a tremendous tennis player and coach and is still active in tennis net today. So this is probably my worst memory of the Ann Arbor City tournament. The night before the finals, we had both reached the finals, and we were out practicing with other people. And David's dad, Yale Camazar, comes up to me, and he says, hey, Billy, do you want to play tennis with David? And I said, well, we're playing tomorrow. And he goes, no, why don't you guys just play a practice set, and you know, then you can play the finals tomorrow. So we play a practice set, and I beat David in a practice set. And I go to bed that night thinking that, man, I could win the 12 and Ann Arbor City tournament in the 12 and unders. And we went out to warm up, and David beat me 6-0, 6-0.
Sting.
So the lesson there was that even at that early age, gamesmanship is part of the sport. And that was a fun learning experience for me.
Did you play many older players at that point?
One of the great things about the city tournament is from an early age, I learned to admire older players and watch them and study them and learn from them. But the event itself is when the juniors and the adults played at the same time, it was an intergenerational event. So you would have people from all generations playing competitive tennis in the draws and then talking about their matches with each other. And I was fortunate enough, I think this is, I'm not sure they allowed people under 18 to play in the open divisions back when I was a kid, but for some reason I got to play when I was 15 with a fellow from New York who was in the School of Public Health here getting his master's, and he was a chain smoker, and he would smoke cigarettes on the changeovers. But he and I played doubles together and reached the finals of the city tournament in 1974 when I was 15 years old. His name was Steve Strasser, and he's a great tennis player, and he quit smoking, fortunately. But that experience of being able to play with a graduate student and playing against players who were in their 30s and 40s, and I was 15, and I think golf is similar in that younger players learn from the older players and learn the value of sportsmanship and etiquette and good behavior, although sometimes those lessons are lost in the heat of the moment. But I think that was one of the great things and still is about the city tournament, is that intergenerational aspect.
Talk about the level of play. I asked Barb about this. It seems like the level of play, once again, is pretty high overall.
It's been very high. If it wasn't, I would have way more championships, titles than I do.
Mm-hmm. How many do you have?
I think I've been to the finals 21 times. I have 10 in singles and maybe 11 in doubles, and I've won the singles 4 times, and I've won the doubles 5 times. So it's not easy to win at any tournament because there's all these other, a lot of factors come into play. You've got, there's always somebody younger like Jason coming up who is going to be very competitive and a very tough out, and older players are getting older, and so in a game that values where there's a premium on speed and quickness, the clock is ticking, and you try to get as many opportunities as you can before that the clock, you know, runs out. So,
how many divisions do you play in right now?
Well, I'm just playing in the city tournament. I'm just playing in the open division, and I would say it's very. Sven Holcomb is in the tournament. He's a former champion, and
he's a tough out. He's about as tough as anybody, from what I know.
I lost him in the semis 2 years ago, so I know how tough he is. And and there are some other good players in the draw too. So it should be a good tournament, and. The level of play in the other divisions is good. You've got a lot of players who play. They've already gotten themselves in shape for the USTA season, and then the city tournament is kind of a great event to mix in while you're playing competitive tennis because it's a tournament, and you have to play match and then get ready for your next one and think through how you're going to prepare for that match and then how you're going to recover and then what's the weather going to be like. And it's a very competitive environment, but it's everybody seems to be having a good time. I almost never see anybody in a dispute. Last year in the finals, I got into a line call dispute.
Well, that's the exception rather than the rule, right?
That's true, and I think we resolved it, and I was okay with what happened. But
talk about your international experience. You played with Team USA and actually won an international championship.
I did. Last year I was selected to play on a 4-man team for the United States in the 55 and over World Championships in Laval, France. And the U.S. had not won that tournament in 11 years in that age division.
What was the surface?
It was red clay. I've still got some on these shoes right here, in fact. It was it was like the Olympics of senior tennis. There were 50 and over, 55 and over, and 60 and over, both men's and women. There were 661 tennis players from 48 countries.
Wow.
So the opening ceremony, when everybody's got their warm-up suits on with the name of their country on the back, it was just like, you know that that's, you're going to see that, but when you finally do see the teams carrying their country's flag into the stadium, and it's really an incredible experience, and seeing all these people who love tennis and are still competitive in their 50s and 55, 60, is really an inspiration, and I was really happy to be part of it. I was not selected for the team this year, so that tells you that it's a very special opportunity, and I was fortunate to be selected for the team, and I played a singles match and two doubles matches, and I won both my matches. I won again a singles match against Moldova, and I won a doubles match against Italy, and a doubles match against Belgium, so... And we went on to, my teammates and I beat Spain in the finals and won the world championship.
Who was in the Spanish team and who was in your team?
Our team was Val Wilder from Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, actually. Mike Tamman from Portland, Oregon, and Mike Federley from Palm Springs, California. Mike Tamman from Portland is the number one player in the country and 3 in the world right now. Val Wilder has been somewhat of a legend. He's a former number one in the world. And Mike Federley is also a senior tennis legend, a former pro player, as
was
Val.
He was on the ATP Tour.
He was, and so was Val Wilder. Val was main draw at Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. He lost to Edberg at Wimbledon, I think his last year of pro tennis in the main draw. So those guys are pretty good players. I feel like I'm competitive. I'm not quite at their level yet. They're just so consistent, and they've been doing this for 20 or 30 years.
Well, you're working on it.
I'm working very hard on it. I got sick 3.5 years ago with a bad ear infection that gave me vertigo and messed up my balance.
Mm.
So I had to take some time off, and I realized that I might not be able to play tennis at that level again, so I worked really hard to get back into it and started playing and started playing national tournaments, and that led to the international tournament.
There's at least one story circulating about a gentleman named McEnroe. We've all heard of McEnroe. Well, you have a rivalry with John McEnroe, if you want to call it that.
Well, I've known John since we were young kids because we're the same age. He was born in February and I was born in June of 59. And we would play these national junior tournaments, and he was very highly ranked. I was kind of one or two levels below him in juniors. But I was starting to get pretty good my senior year of high school. My junior and senior year of high school, I had some very good results. And we ended up playing a tournament in 1976 in Burlingame, California, the national 18 and under hard courts, the year before our senior year, the year before he got to the semis of Wimbledon. And we started out the match, and it was close. He hit a phenomenal shot to break me in the first and won the first set 6-4. I started serving a little bigger in the second set, and I held out to 5-all, and I broke him and then held for 7-5, so we split sets. And then he retired suddenly. He had to retire. And I'm still to this day not clear why he retired, and he was very gracious about it. He said, "I'd love to finish this match, but my coach says I've got to stop playing." So that's how it ended. So, I'm 1-0 against John, and if he ever wants a rematch, I'd be happy to play him again.
Think that could happen?
I think it could happen.
Maybe around here?
Maybe. But,
bring him here.
We'll see. We'll see.
Wes has to leave. Thank you again, Wes, for being here. I appreciate it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do any of the panelists have any questions for each other? Like a subject that you've been thinking about that maybe somebody else could relate to or give you some information on?
Jason. What is, in the adult division, what is one of your most memorable points?
You'll have to hand the mic to
him. Or shots, if you can remember a point or a shot. Because I think tennis is interesting because of the game, but the incredible shot making and under intense situations that occurs.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
No, there actually is one that I did. But, so this might be a bit of a letdown, but in the finals of the tournament, like I mentioned, 3 years ago against Sven Holcomb, I remember I was up 5-3 in the third set. He was serving 30-all, and I got ready to side at the baseline waiting for the return. And to finish the match, he double faulted twice. So that's how the city tournament finished. And I don't think he double faulted the entire match. It was just shy of 3 hours. It was about 2:45 the match took. And he's solid as a rock. Sven doesn't make many errors. And it finished with 2 double faults. So that was really memorable. But, I mean, I didn't even want it to end that way.
Did he say anything to you after?
He just kind of shook his head and patted me on the back. But it was disappointing. But, I mean, I was still really happy.
It's actually pretty shocking.
Yeah, it was really shocking. But Sven was gracious in the defeat.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a question for Bill?
Maybe I do. What would you say is your most memorable match in the adult city tournament? As you mentioned, your one against Dave, who I know is quite a character, but...
I've got a bunch of memorable matches. So I may actually take advantage of telling a couple stories.
Well,
here.
I wish you would.
So, the one that jumps out is the doubles match with us. Dan Goldberg's not here, unfortunately, but I am going to recognize him for hitting the shot the best shot I ever saw in the city tournament since 1970. We're playing in the doubles final against Doug, Dan, and Lou Miller at Burns Park on the court right next to the Big Hill.
What year is this?
This is, it's a good question, maybe in the 90s sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Or late 90s, maybe, and mid to late 90s, and that's right. So we win the first set 7-6, but we get down in the second set 4-1, and they've got a point to go up 5-1 in the second. So, and it's, of course, it's 100 degrees out, and then the, you know, burning up. And we've already played singles matches, so we're hot and tired, and I'm like, oh boy, it's gonna be a long day here. And they hit an angle volley that was in the was so angled that it went into the adjacent court, and those courts are fairly close together. But Danny runs over, I think the point's over, and he takes his Prince Pro, which he's still using, and he hits a ball that never got on more than a couple inches off the ground around the net post. Like a laser beam, it goes and he hits the back corner of their side of the court on the line for a winner, and we ended up breaking them to get to 4-2. They thought they had won that point, and then they ended up getting frustrated. We won that game, came back and won the second set 6-4 after we broke again, and we won that. So that was, but that is by far the best shot, and who better to hit it than Dan Goldberg? Mm-hmm. You want to know how he was an NCAA finalist and top 250 in the world player, so he's a very good tennis player and still is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you another, the most memorable, it's always hot during the city tournament, right? And at Burns Park, there was no fresh water or cold water. You had to bring your own. And I had run out of water, and all I had was some orange juice that I had on the court. And it was late in the third set against Paul Ripley, who's a tennis pro at Liberty Athletic Club. And I'm playing Paul, and I think I was like up 4-2 in the third. I ended up losing the match, but I was so hot on the changeover that and there was no water, no way to cool down. And I took this orange juice, which did have ice in it, and I just poured it over my head without thinking. Well, there was a bee's nest behind the court. And I go on the changeover. All of a sudden, there are all these bees swarming around, and I'm trying to play tennis and kill these bees. And it was a bit of a distraction. So that was my most memorable shot that day, was probably hit all these bees. That's a funny story.
Any other Dave Kamisar stories? Yes,
there is one more David Kamisar story. So we're playing the city tournament. David's on the court next to me. I'm playing Paul Rasmussen, who's a lefty, and he's in the ad court. David's playing somebody, and David's on the same side as Paul in the deuce court on the adjacent court. And David, his opponent serves him wide in the deuce court. So David goes wide to hit his return, and at the exact moment, I kick my serve out wide to Paul, who's left-handed, and he goes wide, and David and Paul Rasmussen just collided. It was like, I know tennis is supposed to be a safe sport, but they just both went down, and I was losing my match. I was losing my match to Paul, who was much older. And they collided, and Paul went down, and David kind of shook it off, but I don't think I lost another game after that. So I have to thank David for that match that I won, because of that, just by pure coincidence, those two balls going to the same spot and those two players colliding. And Paul was okay, but he was not as strong after that incident. So,
Barb, do you have any memories of any unusual incidences, something you'd never seen on a tennis court during the course of a match? You might have a couple.
You're catching me off guard.
Sure I am. That's my job.
I have to pass. I can't think of anything really.
Okay.
Good to say
just
right
no
there.
Nothing like you know, a score that was wrong, or you know, people not hitting in the right courts, or sitting on the bench not coming out. Just nothing that struck you as being like maybe not as sportsmanlike?
Well, I think that sort of, it's always fun when the juniors play, they're playing tournaments, especially the 10 and unders, and they get to the point where they have to do a tiebreaker. They don't know how to do it.
They don't know how to do it, yeah.
So we sort of let them struggle along for a while, and then usually one of the parents will say, help them, they don't know what the score is. So it is cute what they will figure out a tiebreaker should be on their own. But then we go down and get them straightened out. But
did you ever have to administer a match to step in and say, line calls are not going right, I need to administer the rest of this match to make sure that it's fair?
Yes and no. All you have to do is go down and stand there. You need not say anything.
Mm-hmm. But they can see you.
Once you're standing there, then they realize, oh, yeah, that's in that. No, few balls get called out at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does the audience have any questions for any of these fine players and people? Because if not, we can wrap this up.
I'd like to say thank you, Michael, for organizing this. We appreciate it.
Well,
nice job.
Thank you very much. You know, I really have an admiration more than ever for this tournament. And now that I've gotten to know people a little bit better, you know, especially you, you know, from talking to you or emailing you in this last couple of weeks, I find that I'm more interested in spreading the word to people, the general public in particular, about this great event. 97 years is nothing to sneeze at, and we're heading for 100, and there are not too many events on any level, in any form of entertainment, life, or experience that can match 97 years. To me, it's a pretty amazing number. So 97 years and counting for the Ann Arbor City Tennis Tournament. Please show some appreciation for everybody here.